New Wave pioneer Howard Jones's groundbreaking 1985 album Dream Into Action peaked on the UK charts and cracked the US top 10. It went on to spawn global hit singles Things Can Only Get Better, which experienced a resurgence after being featured on an episode of Netflix's Stranger Things, and No One Is to Blame, as well as Life in One Day and Like to Get to Know You Well. In honor of the 40th anniversary of the release of the best-selling album Dream Into Action, Cherry Red Records is set to release a limited edition orange-colored double vinyl on August 22nd, dubbed Farmyard Sessions. Howard Jones has been a constant presence on the international touring scene for the past four decades. He first burst onto the contemporary music scene in 1983, with his very English songwriting and pioneering synthesizers with New Song. It is a great pleasure to welcome Howard Jones to the roundtable this morning. How are you?
Yeah, I'm fine. Thank you, Joe. I'm good.
It's very nice to have you on the program, and I greatly appreciate you being here. Does 40 years of an album, of a best-selling album, what does that mean to you? How does that register in your brain?
I think it's great to celebrate, you know, that amount of time that the album is still alive and kicking after four decades, and that people are still listening to the tracks, really. I mean, that's what I'm most excited about, and also that whole new generations are discovering the music for the first time, which is, you know, even more exciting for me. So, yeah, it's great. It's great. I think it's nice to mark periods of time like that, four decades. It sort of feels significant.
And I assume it's hard to believe that it's been that long.
Yeah, well, I think that I feel the opposite. I feel like...
Really?
It feels like longer than that time, because so much has happened during that time, so many albums, so many tours, so many great experiences along the way. And I feel, you know... Four decades doesn't do it justice, really.
When it comes to that, of four decades doing it justice, it does speak to the fact of the audience that you brought to yourself at that time, and have kept, and now people are still interested in the music that you're making.
Yeah, yes, that's the important bit, isn't it? You know, that's the exciting bit for me, is that the music still feels like it's relevant to people and to younger people. You know, I can tell, but, you know, they give you figures about, you know, the age groups that are listening to your music, and now half the people are sort of, you know, up to 40 years old. So it's quite exciting, that, to me, to see that new generations coming on board.
This new album, which is going to be released on vinyl, dubbed Farmyard Sessions. Talk a little bit about that name, of why it is dubbed that.
Yeah. Oh, it's called Farmyard Sessions because we recorded the album, well, both the first two albums at Farmyard Studios. So that was the thinking behind the title, and the tracks are instead of like re-releasing the album the way it was originally, we thought it'd be more interesting to sort of play around with the idea of remixes and different versions that led to the final versions of the album that everyone knows. Things like No One Is to Blame, which we had a second go at. We recorded it outside in the courtyard, and you can hear, you know, ambient sound of the farmyard animals in the background and planes going over, because we were quite close to Heathrow. And I think it's sort of fun for people to hear those slightly different takes on the a lot of the tracks.
You can look at the menu, but you just can't eat. You can feel the cushions, but you can't have a seat. You can dip your foot in the pool, but you can't have a swim. You can feel the punishment, but you can't commit the sin. And you want her, and you want her. We want everyone.
For you, is it was that to experiment with the song itself, or in experimentation to get it exactly the way you wanted it?
You know, you sort of know when a track is right to go on the album, and that's lots of factors involved, like the length of it, what record company people think, you know, because that is important to listen to that. So some of it is you want to listen to, some of it you don't, and on the way to getting what you would really like this track to sound like, you will go through some experimentation and try different things. And that's what you kind of is revealed by these different mixes.
When you have those different mixes and listening to them, I was listening to the album last night. You hear so many different things that you hear in the song, that lyrics strike you a different way and the music strikes you a different way. And that's fascinating. It's really an exploration.
Yeah, I mean, I was always a bit reticent to release anything that wasn't like the final version, you know, that got onto the album or got onto the 12-inch mix. But talking to the fans, people who really follow me every in a forensic way, they are just so delighted to hear, you know, the journey of the track and slightly different. Yeah. Mixes and different takes on it, so I was persuaded to do that, and I'm there now. I've got there. I get it.
When you have a song like "No One Is to Blame," I mean, do you gravitate to that right away when you started with it? Of that, this is something that is worth playing around with, and something that you're invested in working on.
Yeah, I mean, the version that ended up on the Dream Attraction album is still the fans' favourite. And it's quite a stripped-down version of the song.
You can build a mansion, but you just can't live it. You're the fastest runner, but you're not allowed to win. So break the rules, man, let's count the cost.
Now, I always had an idea that it could be a radio song. And that, you know, it was such of great importance to me. I the radio is where everyone gets to hear what you do. And so that's why we tried the Lambs and Planes mix. We went outside and got in, you know, recorded the drums in the courtyard and gave a different feel. It's still, to me, wasn't like right for radio. So that's when I had, you know, had the idea to work with Phil Collins and do a much more, I don't know, right for radio mix. And that's what we did. but still, the fans, they it's the Dream Into Action version that they love.
What is it like to have someone's input, like Phil Collins, giving you input on a song, especially when it becomes the one that is so known, and also, as you say, as the fan favorite.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, it was great. I mean, it was done very quickly. So I think Phil just loved the song, and it's just so great to have him playing drums on it. And he had some great suggestions about what to do, which is, you know, to have a drum machine pattern that he wanted that so he could play drums to it, because he didn't like to play to a click. He liked to play to something more interesting. So I composed this 2-bar loop for the song, and he absolutely loved it. And obviously it became one of the biggest hooks of the track. It's the first thing you hear, and as soon as you hear it, you know it's No One Is to Blame. And so it's just so interesting. Sometimes you can be very lucky with those things. I spent like a whole weekend just programming this drum machine loop that became so important and integral to the track. And it's interesting how things work out.
You can see the summit, but you can't reach it. It's the last piece of the puzzle, but you just can't make it fit. Doctor says you're cured, but you still feel the pain. Aspirations in the clouds, but your bones go down the drain. And you want to, and you want to. We want everyone, and you want to.
Going to be back on the road to celebrate the 40th anniversary of Dream Into Action. But you really never left the road, did you?
No, I've toured constantly the whole of my career, through good times and bad. and I think that's what you have to do, isn't it? Because it's like practicing the piano, you know, you have to keep working on it every day to keep your chops up. Same with live performance. You can't just leave it for 10 years and then suddenly think you know how to do it. I think it's good to keep your hand in with that and keep developing, you know, the art of playing live. And I feel I've been dedicated to that.
In playing with what is just an incredible band.
My band has been evolving and changing over the years. As you know, I started as a one-man
right
electronic band with Jed as my mime artist, doing characters and visuals. So it's gone through all kinds of things. I've had brass sections and string sections and amazing players. So it's always evolving, and that is fun, you know. And it's not like I'm somebody who chops and changes. I like to stick with people, but sometimes people, you know, go and play with other artists, and that's great because I love that, because when they come back, they are enriched, you know, with new experiences from doing that. So, but the band I've got at the moment is really fantastic. It's got a mixture of youth and experience, and it's my favorite sound at the moment. It's really working well.
Given the you're going to be doing this tour in the U.S., you're going to be going to Europe as well. Is there a difference in the audience and the audience reaction?
Well, you know, different countries and different territories have had different hits. You know, so they will favor certain songs more, and even with I don't think it's so true in the States. I think, you know, it's quite, you know, I know what the biggest songs are. But when I go to the UK, you know, it's more focused on the first album and the later albums, and Europe is a mixture of all kinds of different things, and then Australia is a mixture of England and America, and so yeah, it is different, but that's the fun of it, isn't it? You know, you songs that you thought like, for instance, I had What Is Love was number one in Belgium, for instance, and Hide and Seek was number one in Ireland, so those songs have particular significance to them when you play there. So it's interesting.
And then you have something like Stranger Things, where Things Can Only Get Better is a part of that program, and it reintroduces itself to a new audience, and that becomes something that was still popular, but a different life.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, I had a track in Breaking Bad as well, a new song, which was a big moment for me, because that's one of my favorite TV shows of all time. It's interesting how when the music is married to the emotion and the scene that's going on, it really has a big impact. Music can really take it to another place, and I think then people are hearing it, they're Shazamming it, and like, oh, you know, young people go, oh, what's this song? I never heard this before. It's great. It's you just never know what's going to happen with music. You know, what's going to turn up? What's going to suddenly be, revived or rediscovered?
And it's a, I would think, a kick if New Song was in a great episode of Breaking Bad called Kafkaesque. And it comes in at just a perfect time. Now, and so they come to you, I assume, in something like that.
Yes. I mean, in the case of Breaking Bad, the music supervisor was meticulous in his choice of the tracks to do with the story. So the lyrics were even more important than the actual genre or style of the track. And if you that scene with Jesse Pinkman, he's at a point in his life where he doesn't quite know what to do. He doesn't know whether to go backwards or forward or just disappear or whatever. And so the song really relates to that. You know, don't crack up, bend your brain, see both sides, throw off your mental chains. So don't be constrained by the events that are surrounding you. So I think it becomes even more powerful when the lyrics it's a pop song, but the lyrics are not pop, you know, so it's got like triple meanings with the scene. And I love that. I love it when music supervisors really do their work, and then in, Stranger Things, it's set in the 80s. So Things Can Only Get Better is appropriate for, like, they play the whole song. So it sort of sets, it brings you back into that time even more, because music can transport you in that way. When I get to lose it all, security thrust through the wall. From the things we plan, unless we're clinging to the things we prize. And do you feel scared? I do, but I won't stop and falter. And if we throw it all away, things can only get better. very interesting that the mix of film and TV and music is very powerful.
How much new material do you do? New songs do you introduce to the audience?
Well, I'm looking at the set list, which I know already. When do we have to prepare well ahead of time? I mean, there's a song, Eagle Will Fly Again, which was from, is one of the most recent albums. And then, I'm thinking of doing God Only Knows, which is a cover of, obviously, Brian Wilson's genius song. The Prisoner is one of the fans' favorites, but it's not that so well known by general public, but we were including that. And then there's What We Do at the End of Things Can Only Get Better, which is kind of a remix of the song. And it's like taking you back into a club. So, I'm bringing back Bounce Right Back, which is very much from the Dream Into Action era. And I've done right remixed version of that. So it's kind of feels more contemporary. Yeah, it's like mixing stuff in. I wanted to get as many Dream Into Action tracks in as possible. Look, mm-hmm. Mama's back in, Life One Day. Like to get to know you well. Things, no one is to blame. So it's got mainly the flavor of Dream Into Action, but with some extra goodies.
Seems like you're having fun.
Yeah. I always have fun with touring and music and set lists, and it's great fun.
Well, in honor of the 40th anniversary of the release of the best-selling album Dream Into Action, Cherry Red Records is set to release a limited edition orange-colored double vinyl on August 22nd, dubbed Farmyard Sessions. And Howard Jones also going on the road with a tour of the United States, and you can find out more by going to Howard Jones Music. It is a great pleasure to have you on the program, Howard. I thank you very much.
Thank you.
Travel safe and be well, and congratulations.
Okay, thank you, Joe. Thanks for doing the interview.
Again, you can find out more information about the tour. You can find out more information about the album by going to Howard's website, which is howardjones.com. howardjones.com. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.